turn today in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, commencing with the 13th verse. That Jesus had been in the house of a Pharisee, and after leaving this house, great multitudes of people surrounded him. And we find him speaking unto these people. And as he is speaking unto these people, there was one man that came out of this company and said unto Jesus, Master, speak unto my brother, that he divide unto me the inheritance. It appears that this man who came to Christ with this complaint felt that he was not being justified in getting his portion of his parents' estate. This brother that had charge of dividing it had not given this man what he thought his portion. According to the law given by Moses, when the parents died, the elder brother was to divide the estate of his parents. And according to law, he was to have a double portion himself. And then he was to divide the rest among the rest of the relatives. And now this man came to Christ with this complaint. Probably his brother hadn't divided unto him the inheritance. Or he wanted Christ to change this law. He wasn't satisfied that his brother had a double portion and he only had one portion of it. He was a covetous person in this respect, and he desired Christ to take up this complaint that he brought to him and straighten out his brother in this matter. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, he said unto him, Who has made me a judge and a divider over you? Jesus Christ had not come to be an earthly judge or to divide the portions that are allotted to us here below and to separate them and give them unto each and every one of us. This was not the mission that Christ came into this world for. He had come because his Father had sent him on a mission as a Savior and as a Redeemer and to give himself as an offering and as a sacrifice for sinners. And he was not then appointed by any earthly body of men to be a judge or to be a divider. And he teaches in this likewise that they who are those that govern countries and have judgeship allotted to them, they should not interfere either with the ecclesiastical government. That the government that we have even should not interfere with the church government, that they should remain separate. The Lord Jesus Christ, he in the first place would not take up this man's complaint because many of the Jews had that opinion that Christ was going to come and that he was going to be king over them, that he was going to rule and govern them, and that he was going to drive out the Romans out of their country, and that they would be rich and happy in this respect, having him as their king. Now, he did not want any of the Jews to have this opinion of him as the Messiah, for he had not come for this purpose. And likewise, as Jesus, he spake in this way, because he knew what was going on with this brother that had held back part of the inheritance. And if this brother that came with this complaint was not satisfied, he had every reason to go to the earthly court and to seek justification in this matter, but not to come to Christ, for Christ had not come to be a judge over earthly matters here below. This man had no concern about an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and which is reserved in heaven for everyone whom God has chosen. Had he come to Christ concerning this inheritance, he would have been instructed and Christ would have taken up his case. But he took not this case up, but he spake unto him in this way and cut him off. saying, "Who hath made me a judge and a divider over you?" So then he begins to speak to the people, and he says, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth." So the Lord Jesus Christ then is striking at the sin of covetousness. This was probably what this man was guilty of. He was seeking just as much, and if not more, of his inheritance than his brother had. And now the Lord Jesus speaks against covetousness. Every one of us are guilty of this sin, more or less. It runs in our lives. Covetousness is an inordinate desire after the things of this world and of this life. And likewise, it's a desire after those things that we see our neighbor have and we have not. We covet what our neighbor possesses. We desire to have what they have and if not more. This sin is prevalent, my hearers, even amongst each and every one of us. And the Lord Jesus Christ warns against this sin. He says, a man's life consisteth not in the things that he thinks he has, in the abundance of things. This is true. You may have wealth, you may have a beautiful home, you may have land and property, and you may have everything that someone else is envious about. And today, there's a common statement, maybe you've heard it, some young people, they get married, and the Lord blesses them. Oh, they immediately have a beautiful home, they have a beautiful car, they have more things than their parents ever had before them. And you hear people talk, why, they're living, they're enjoying themselves. This is life, is it? Is that what Jesus means when he says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses? That is not life, my hearers. This is what most of the people are doing. They are seeking to get ahead in the world, seeking for honor, for glory, for riches, for happiness. And many people, they spend all their time in trying to get ahead and to have what the next one has in life. Let me ask you, is that what you're doing? Is that how you're spending your time, your strength, your energy? Are you seeking with all your might and with all your power to get ahead and to have everything that everybody else has and is not more than them? Is that your life? How foolish you are. That's not life, my hearers, because how many people do not have these things that you're seeking after? You've probably seen it in your young life, how that people have wealth, they have an abundance. They're living on the fat of the land. But there comes God. He afflicts probably this man or this woman that has this abundance. And the doctor comes, examines, shakes his head, gives his verdict. Probably 3 days, probably a week, you'll be gone. You're going to die. Can't do anything for you. Now, what does that person do? Why, that person would give everything that they possess if they could lengthen their life, if they would only have their life spared. What means then all that they have gathered together? This has often been the case. Many people have said these things. We have it in Scripture likewise. And we have Job, one of the richest men in the East. If there ever was a rich man, it was Job. And he was stripped of everything that he had in one day. He had nothing. Even all his children were taken away from him. But his life was spared. The devil couldn't touch his life. And now, after this, God blessed Job again with his double as much as he had before. So you see that abundance that you have is not your life. You may think it is so, but it's not. Because riches take wings and they fly away. And therefore, the Lord Jesus warns against covetousness. And he begins to speak a parable to the multitude. And he says, a certain rich man's ground brought forth plentifully. We have here then a rich man who probably owned much ground. He had a large estate. He had a beautiful home on this estate. He had probably men working for him, working in the fields, cutting down his harvest, and doing everything that was necessary to keep the estate very beautiful. But now this rich man, he had this particular season a blessing from God. His land brought forth plentifully. He never had it like that. In all his career as a rich man, and with the ground that he had, he never had a season like he had now. When he went out into the field, he seen his wheat, his rye, his barley, he seen his corn, he seen the trees that bear fruit, were loaded with fruit, he seen his vineyard with so many grapes hanging on it, that there was such an abundance that God had given unto this man in this season. It brought forth plentifully. And now when he walked through there and he saw what he had, his heart rose up in him. Oh, he was looking forward to the harvest. Oh, when they took this all in, how rich he would be. But what would he do with all these fruits? When he looked at the barns that he had, he says, this will never go into them barns. It'll never fit in them. And he began to think in himself, and he says, I know what I'll do. I'll take my barns down, and I'll build greater ones. And then I will store in these barns all these my fruits and goods. And I will say, so, as thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So this was then the decision that this rich man came to. This rich man had been wonderfully blessed by God, but he acknowledged not God in what he had received. His covetous heart began to contemplate how rich he would be. And he thought nothing about anyone else but himself. What he would do with all the fruits that he had. He would store them in a barn. He would hoard them. And he saw into the future that with what he had nothing to worry about anymore. He had plenty to eat and to drink, and he could enjoy his life for the rest of what he would have. This man then, he had a desire only for himself. He coveted then everything that he saw in his fields for himself. He did not acknowledge God. He did not come to God and ask God what he should do with the abundance that God had given him, how he could make a proper use of it and glorify God with it. He had not God in all his thoughts. He reckoned without God. He only reckoned for himself. And therefore, he decided to do this, and he contemplated already on having a beautiful barn like he never had before, and everybody would look at it, and everybody would admire it, and everybody would say, boy, look at that man. Look how rich he is. This he had in mind. And now my hearers, now this man, he isn't any different than many of us in this respect. You know, God says in His Word, when ye have a day of prosperity, we should not rejoice, for He has set over that a day of adversity, one over against the other. And now, as this happens in life with you and I, there is probably a time in your life when you're healthy, you're well, you're able to perform your daily occupation, and God richly blesses you where you are laboring. Now the Lord teaches us in His Word that we should look to the ant. Solomon says to the sluggard, go to the ant. We are to learn a lesson from the ant. We are to learn wisdom. We are to learn prudence. We are to learn foresight. The ants, they are a small insect. But in the summertime, they gather everything together for the winter. They are very industrious in the summer. They know that in the winter, there won't be anything that they can get to eat. Therefore, they take everything that they possibly can in the season when it's to be obtained. So the Lord teaches us, when you have a season of prosperity and God blesses you, then you are to do like the ants. You are to lay aside something that God has given unto you. For, sometimes a rainy day, we say. Or, likewise, you may lay aside something for your old age. When the time comes that you become infirm and you are unable to work, and then you have a little reserve to go back on. The Lord teaches us this by the end. And now this man, this rich man, he was blessed by God with such an abundance, and he began to contemplate what he would do with it. He thought within himself that he would gather it all together and store it in one great barn. And then he would have plenty for the rest of his life. Anything wrong with it? What was wrong with it? Anything wrong with us setting aside something of what God blesses us with? This man had a day of prosperity. Nothing said about the man that he was an evil man, that he was an immoral man. It just says that he was a rich man. But you see, this man reckoned without God. He acknowledged not God for the blessings that he had received, and he sought not to glorify God with the abundance that God had given unto him. There were probably many poor people, and many widows, many orphans that needed help, that needed assistance. And as this man had a heart wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and he had received such an abundance that he didn't know what to do with, he would have went to God first and asked God what he should do with it. But he didn't. He went to himself. He spoke to himself. He figured out himself. And he reckoned about himself. And he seen in the future, oh, he was going to have a life of ease. Now, my hearers, this goes on yet today. Many people are that way. How many people don't you meet, elderly people? They're working in a place at the present time we have in this country called Social Security. At a certain age, you have to retire. Even firms, corporations, they have made a deadline for a person. You can't work over your 65 or maybe in some places 70. But when you arrive to that age, then you are let go. Now, many people know this. Many people, you talk to them, they're looking forward to the time that they can retire. And then what? Well, they're going to live on the fat of the land. They save some themselves, and then they get something from Social Security. Then they got probably a pension fund in the place where they work. And so they won't be troubled too much about where the next meal is going to come from. They're all set for their old age. Now, I've seen it in my life. Maybe you've seen it too. Maybe you know somebody too. Maybe he works with you. He talked to you maybe about the time when he was going to retire, what he was going to do, where he was going to go. And that person, he came to the retirement age, he retired, he lived maybe a week, maybe a month. God came and took his life away. What did the man have? And all what he was figuring and contemplating on doing, and you could hear from the man, he had not God in all his thoughts. He did not reckon with God. Same like this rich man. He didn't either. He never thought about God. And now, we may see this man going to bed at night, and he's dreaming about a beautiful barn. Oh, he's had such a wonderful dream. You know, dreams, they come by being busy in your mind about things. And he probably was dreaming what a wonderful life he was going to have. He could see even in his dreams. Oh, he was going to eat and drink and be merry, and oh, he was going to have a wonderful time. But there comes God. God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall then that be which thou possessest?" Oh, my hearers, this man had not thought about that. He had not thought about death. He had not thought about eternity. He had not thought about meeting God. He had lived without God. He had no desire after the Lord Jesus Christ to be reconciled with God and find peace with him. His sins and iniquities, they were not forgiven him. And we find that this man was taken away in the midst of all his earthly and worldly concerns, where he was so busy with what he was going to do, with all that he had been blessed with, God cut his life off. And who received all what was on the field, all what he had? Some others took it away. He never enjoyed anything of it. He was cut off in the midst of all his worldly thoughts and worldly desires, and he was brought before a holy and a righteous and a just God, and God cast him into that pit of eternal misery and woe. So this was the end of this rich man, and therefore God called him a fool. Me and you, if we see a person like that, we would say he's a wise man, he's doing what's good, he's doing what's right, but God called him a fool. Why was he a fool? Because, in the first place, he called the fruits and the goods that God had given unto him his own. My hearers, whatever you have and whatever I have, God has given us. He's only lent it to us. We are stewards over what God has given us. And now whether we have little or we have much, there's a day coming when God is going to call us to account on what we have done with what he has given us. We have to answer before him. And this man had no thought about that. That's why he was a fool. He reckoned not with death. He reckoned not with eternity. He reckoned not with God. He was a fool in the second place by wanting to tear down his barns and build a new one. Why didn't he just add a little piece to some of them and he would have got all the soil in it? He didn't have to tear them all down and build new ones, build bigger barns. He didn't know what kind of a year he was going to have the next year. Down in the land of Egypt, there was a famine for 7 years. Years of famine follow years of prosperity and blessings. Therefore, he was a fool in contemplating on building a new barn, which he in all probability would have never had any need for, only just this one time. He was a fool likewise, my hearers, in the greatest sense of the word, that he sought not this inheritance which God bestowed upon his dear children. How foolish he was. Without seeking God, without going after this heavenly inheritance, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be granted unto you. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, he sought not this kingdom. Let me ask you a question, you that are listening to me. What are you seeking after? Are you seeking to get rich? Are you seeking to have a home, something like your neighbor has, or one better than him? Are you seeking to have a better car than your neighbor? Are you busy day and night trying to get more and more of this world's goods to yourself? You don't have any time for God. You don't have any time for his word. You don't have any time to seek him. All you're seeking after is earthly wealth, earthly pleasure. Let me ask you, should God say to you, this night, thy soul shall be required of you, where will you spend eternity? Suppose God comes and takes your life away in the midst of all this. Oh, my hearers, what an awful eternity awaits so many that are so busy with this world and busy with the things of time and sense, and forgetting that one thing needful. All my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ then teaches us that we should not set our heart upon this world or the things of this world, but that we should seek him and live. All my hearers, I could recommend seeking him. Seek an interest in this God. Seek to be reconciled with him. Forget about all these earthly matters, because you have to leave it all behind when you die. And you know, when this rich man died, then he began to see what a fool he had been. Then his eyes went open. Others had probably said he was a rich man, he was a wise man, he was a prudent man. But now he went, and in eternity he began to see his own foolishness. Oh, he had not provided for an earthly, for a heavenly treasure, but he had provided earthly treasures for someone else. He had to leave it all behind. He could not take it with him, and neither can you and I take anything with us, my hearers. We must leave it all to another. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks again, and he says, such are they that lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich in God. So this is what most of us do. We're trying to lay up treasure for ourselves, every one of us. We're trying to have something that we may enjoy even in our old age, or we are laying up treasure maybe for our children to leave them an inheritance so that they will have it good when we pass away. And we are busy then laying up treasure for ourselves, but we are not rich in God. And we forget God. And this is the motion of each and every creature as they seek everything that is here below, and seek not the treasure that God has to bestow. Oh, where your heart is, that is where your treasure will be. And my hearers, what are you seeking after? Are you seeking God? Are you seeking to be reconciled with him? Are you seeking to find peace with him? Are you seeking to find favor in his holy sight? If you have, and if you are seeking this, you are seeking a good treasure. A treasure that shall never be taken away from you. A treasure that the moth and the rust cannot take away or corrupt. It's a treasure that abides. Oh, may you all be given to seek this treasure while you are still alive. Oh, how many are like this rich man? They are rich in this world's good. And we find an example of them in Psalm 49. They build their houses and call their lands after their names. And they think that their houses and their lands will remain for generations. And they have no thought about God or eternity. How does God take them away is in the moment they are cut off. They are found no more. Oh, how true this is in life, my hearers. And all of this is what Jesus warns us against, covetousness. An inordinate desire after everything that is in this world and in this life. He warns, he admonishes us against it. Or he's teaching these people likewise. And now whether this man that came to Christ or with this complaint about his brother felt and realized of the importance of this parable, that we know not. We don't know whether this man learned a lesson out of it or not. But this is the lesson that the Lord is teaching me and you. Oh, may we be given ears to hear. And may we be given a heart to follow this, what Christ commands us in this parable. Oh, it's a blessing, my hearers, to have health, to have strength, to have employment, to have a home, to have the things of this world. There's nothing wrong with them if we do not abuse them. If we may end in God with them, then we are deeply humbled. Then whatever we have, we are undeserving of. But to be like this rich man, he had no thought thereof. He acknowledged not God in all his ways. And now how many of my hearers are like this rich man? How many of you end in God with all what you have? I'm afraid there are very few. Most of us end in ourselves, our own strength, our ingenuity, everything of what we have is due to the capability that God has given us physically and mentally. But we end not in God with it. Oh, it is only by the grace of God that we are brought to acknowledge him. And now, my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ sets before us a treasure. And this is himself. And this is his salvation. And this is what he commands us to seek while we are yet healthy and well. And therefore, may you be given to seek it. And may you be given to realize something of that treasure. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing. If the Lord opens the storehouse of heaven and reveals unto you those treasures that abide, or the inheritance that he has laid up for his dear children, or when you are given to see that those things nobody can take away, they are covenant promises, they are covenant gifts that he bestows to every one of his covenant children, or he has given his word of honor that whatever he has promised to his children, he most certainly will fulfill. If you have one promise out of this covenant of grace, or one sealing home of the word of God to your heart, then you may be assured that you have a treasure in heaven, that there, that what God has provided for you, that you will receive. Oh, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it come up into the heart of man what God has provided for them that love him. Oh, may you be given to see something of this glorious inheritance. And I think you would want to have wings, and you would want to fly away and to enjoy it forever and ever. And then when death comes, you will die in peace. You will die with that, that you are going to a better place, and that you will enjoy what you've been longing after here below. You will enjoy the presence of your God forever and ever and never go out anymore. Oh, God is the inheritance, is the portion of his people, and that forever and ever. May you seek him, my hearers. May you long after him, and may you find him witnessing in your soul that he's your God, that he's your shepherd, that he cares for you, that he loves you, that he's leading you. And no matter what you may go through in this life, how poor you may become, or how destitute you may be, if he is with you, you have nothing to fear. Your bread is sure and your water is sure. Oh, the Lord bless this feeble lesson this afternoon. And to your immortal soul, that's all for today.